starting from the beginning of Chodesh Elul, the lineages that we blow Shofar every day, and the purpose of the Tkiya Shofar is to honor people to do tshuva. Burnham points out that running the deacons, you have a cloud, and you're just learning it this morning in Shir and Akkad, that this man does in Shlosh Miyom. So when somebody owes a debt, doesn't give you 30 days to pay off the Chodesh. Here also the meaning is that we murder people 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, and we better hurry up and do tshuva. Not, and the Bezin will come and collect on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Hadid, the actual Yom Hadid. And Maisa Rabbi quotes in the Zul Negroim that he used to say that this is considered Yom Negroim. He used to say Yom Negroim since this is Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. He used to express himself that Yom Negroim starts from Rosh Chodesh Elul and until Simchat Torah. That was his Rosh. He said that the proper thing is that one should be Machmir, whatever people are make along all year long, the proper thing is they should be machmir what he considered the Yom Nirun, starting from Chodesh Elul through Simchat Torah. He gave an example which was one of his pet things, heteristic. He didn't go for the heteristic as far as Riddick is concerned. So he said, even the people who hold from the heteristic, they should at least try to avoid using the heteristic for being Malvat Riddick during these days of Yom Nirun, starting from Chodesh Elul until Simchat Torah. That's too much. The person has such a great berachas hatanah, he feels that too much, but at least starting from the first day of shlichus, till after our third mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch, the theme is found not in such a extended form. The Shulchan Aruch just thought that it's proper for the people to be Yerushalmi, it's proper for people to be machmir during our third mitzvah, not to eat pas nachim. But even though mitzvah adim is pas and a pas nachim is mitzvah pas palter, if it's baked by a baker, if it's my next door neighbor, a private person who bakes the bread. Even though I know that it's kosher and there's no shash kashrus, it's still an issue of patnachim. You shouldn't have shash kashrus, and I may fall in love with the daughter because the food is so delicious. A bishulak and a patnachim, it's gone in and stuff. But if it's baked by a palter, then we have a heter on pat. That's how we can learn it. Although pat ha palter, although the baker's bread is mutter all year long, nikaradin. Teres Meitshuva is proper not to eat any Patsachim using Patsachim. And then the Patsachim point out in Shulchan Aruch, even though the Yerushalmi only speaks about Patsachim, who are denominated applies to other Dvarim HaMutorim. The Kippur, they speak about not being Matzmin, not to do Hasmonis, Meridian Kippur, Ethiopian Kippur. They say, what's wrong with what's the use of Hasmonis? They say, even though it's Mutzah, you should be Machmir. You should be Machmir Dvarim HaMutorim Lagam. It isn't even a Shita that it's Sot, you should be Machmir. And the Aruch HaShulchan discusses one should be Machmir. Other Chumis, perhaps the Black Kashan, perhaps Kol HaBisrael, perhaps the Yisrael, whatever Chumis people do all year long, perhaps it's proper to be Machmir on Teres Meitshuva, perhaps the way the Nagoyim says, the whole of you may Yomim HaNeirot, starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul, the last of Simchat Torah. We have, in many places, they have an additional minhag. We have this minhag that after the davening, we say the Dabar Hashem Ori also. The minhag now in the yeshiva in most places here in America is that we say first we blow shofar, then we say the Dabar Hashem Ori. This is Tkiya Shofar, some form of a hachana to the Dabar Hashem Ori. Years ago, the Rav used to make a fuss about this, that that's not the way the minhag was in Europe, and that's not the way it says in the Mount Ephraim. The minhag was that they finished davening and they said the Dabar Hashem Ori. After the davening, they would blow shofar. Says in the Shulchan Aruch, the minhag is to blow shofar after the whole davening is all over. If you have a minhag to say the Dabar Hashem Ori, that's still sort of part of the davening. He's telling that the proper meaning, the old meaning really was, to blow the shofar after the Dabar Hashem Ori. Shulchan Aruch says that even though we have a minhag to blow shofar during Chodesh Elul and Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow shofar. Shulchan Aruch gives two reasons. One reason that's given is supported by the Zohar going from the Gemara. The Zohar going writes down, Tzachim Dab Kufim and Al. The Gemara says, Tzachim, nothing to do with Tzachim Shofar. The Gemara speaks about a person who happens to be in the middle of a meal on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. He's not allowed to start a meal on Erev Shabbat. First, he started to eat on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, what does he do? Or it's not going to count. He should put the cloth on top of the food. He should say Kiddush and then continue to eat. So he does the davening mincha ma'ariv. It's a different problem. He doesn't go into that. But Gemara talks about what it do with the Kiddush. So why did he have to declare his ma'ariv and kanish? And the Rashbam comments on the Gemara that you have to make a heker between Surah Shabbos and Surah Kol. But Surah Shabbos is a mitzvah, Surah Kol is a reshut. And you shouldn't blend the two in together. You shouldn't just continue to eat and make Kiddush at the end of the meal. Because you started the meal with Surah Reshut. And you're going to end it off with Surah Shabbos. You should make a heker to demonstrate that Adkan is a reshut and Adkan is a reshut. So the Vilna Gaon feels that this is the real marker for the minhag, not to blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. One of the two reasons that's given the Shulchan Aruch, they lahakrish, then tears the reshut with tears the chayva, that in doing chodesh elul, we blow shofar, but it's only a minhag, it's not a real deal. ואז אני רואה ששם יש מיצו מן התאר מקוריבים, תקנה מיצים לרבות, תקנה להבדיל בין קיר של חייבל, קיר של רשות, we don't blow shayfa on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Of course, this year, well, we don't blow shayfa on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, but Shabbos, so there's no reason why we shouldn't blow shayfa on Friday. And yet, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Akhrayim that the Mimah Zim told us a light book that we don't blow shayfa this year either on Erev Rosh Hashanah. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, late in the afternoon towards evening, we have a mitzvah like before every Erev Shabbos, the regular Erev Yom, the mitzvah for Sefer Shabbos and Sefer Yom. There is, of course, a machlokas. Is there such a mitzvah? Some sheep that it's a mitzvah in our Torah, and some hold it's a mitzvah in the Rabbanon. And the Rambam holds that there's no mitzvah at all. You never believe to be most in the whole of the Torah. In fact, according to the Rambam, it's a big debate among the Achronim and among the Poskim, whether what if you're not believe to be most, what if you were most in the whole of the Torah? Is it Chalana? Is it Chalana Torah? Is it Chalana the Rabbanon? Is it zero? The question within the Rambam. But the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Shabbos, I know the Chatlokas on air is that you pass in. Sort of not like the Rambam. The Rambam only requires Tosefis on Yom Kippur. Tosefis L'chanal Echrer on Yom Kippur. But as far as other Shabbat and Yom Tov are concerned, the Rambam requires not Tosefis, not Menatar, not the Rabban. And Shulchan Aruch, they pass in against the Rambam. But there is a mitzvah Tosefis, either Menatar, not the Rabban. How long is this Tosefis? The Tosefis points out in basis of Rambam and Menalafet, and the Gemara would appear that there is some... There is some sheer cuts of some amount of time, a few minutes or whatever, hours or whatever it is, but the person says, we don't know what the sheer is. The Murray Adap Laman and Beis say that there is a sheer, the person says, we don't know what the sheer is. The Yosef quotes in the name of some person that the sheer is approximately a half an hour. We don't know exactly where did they get the sheer the half an hour. The Rav mentioned that he remembers that in Europe, in some communities, there were benchlicht, and we benchlicht, and every year of Shabbat, every year of Yom Kippur, 18 minutes before the sheer. Usually assume that the 18 minutes before the Shkir to be cautious for the opinion of Rav Lezion and Mitz, the Iranian, quoted by the Magen Avraham, who has a different shikur from everybody else, he holds that at sunset that's called Sefer Tachavim, and then as much as begins 18 minutes before that, according to the Iranian, you're not allowed to bench lift, you're not allowed to do any malach for the last 18 minutes before sunset, that's Ben Ashman, that's Baker Deraita, you're not allowed to do any malach. It's usually assumed that that's why we're marking the bench lift 18 minutes before Shabbat or before Yom Tov, because that's already 18 minutes before the Ben Hashmash. But the Rav said that he remembers in different communities in Europe where the minute was the bench lift a half an hour before the Shkia and every Erev Shabbos. And I mean, Erev Yom Kippur also half an hour before. And when Yom Kippur would fall out on Shabbos, he remembers they had a minute in many places to bench lift an hour before. They had a half an hour to service for Shabbos, a half an hour to service for Yom Kippur. Exactly whether that means anything I'll keep doing is a different question, because you remember such a minute that they benchless all the time, half an hour before because it is the day for the half an hour, and when Yom Kippur would call you the Shabbat, they want to make a double successor, so they were benchless an hour before. Taz and the Shabbat quotes the opinion of the Levush, which is not really, in this case, not really that popular opinion, that the Yisod Hadin of Tosefta Shabbat and Tosefta Yom Kippur is Midin Neder. That if a person is Mekabal Neder, not to do Malach at that time. Usually we assume that it's not a din of Neder. You know, Neder means that I personally took a Neder tax as if it were Shabbos. Pasha Sangmo would appear that it's not a right to begin. It's as if your mom shifts the Gdusha Shabbos and the Gdusha Yontem, as if the Shabbos and the Yontem begin earlier, but Harayim, the Gmon is Sukkot Dav Kav Ches, has as a Havamina that a person should be Chayit Kori, if he does Malach during his man up to set the Shabbos. If he decides to be Moshe in the Kavala Kodesh, if he does Malach, maybe he's Chayit Kori, maybe he's Chayit Misa, if he does it in the so the Taksus Hagmara would appear to indicate that it's not Midin Neder, and Neder you're not Chayit Kari. The Gemara quotes the Taksus that it's not so. It's not a Midin Kari, it's only an essay, there's no law. Beneath the rest. The Taksus Hagmara would seem to indicate that this is a Havamin of the Gemara, that it's not a Din Neder. But the Levush says, Lamaskana, that's what it is, it's a Din Neder. He even says you can have Hatoros Midorim, because this person was Moshe Mikhail Alakodesh, and then he realizes that he made a mistake, and he really didn't want to be Moshe so early, so he can have Hatoros Midorim and then undo his Tosef Shabbos. It's a very strange sheet. But it's based on this Levush that some post can point out that if one should assume that Tosef Shabbos and Yonzer is Midin Neder, so the proper thing is that one should be Mekabal and Neder Beset. If one doesn't take a Neder for the Pasuk, it's Nefesh Ki Tishav Levat to the Tosai, Pasuk and Pasuk Vayikro. That the Dormish would you have to have a Neder Beset. As far as Nidre and Mitzvah are concerned, there's a Machloikis in the Poskim, the Rabbi Natan says that just as the Gemara says in Shavuot of Kavod, that Korban, the person, is not the Shekorban Belay. You learn that in the Pasuk and do the Yom Kormu Divlei Holo, that one can be not the Shekorban Belay. You don't need Levat to the Tosai. So Rabbi Natan extends this even to Tainan. So some poskim on the same rabbi time that only be mitzvah chal b'leiv. And other poskim disagree and they say, no, only be mitzvah not chal b'leiv, they're only stokin, only pinus, and others not. So that would be the shan, let's say, if the Levush is right, that this is an inyan of neder, and the Torah requires of us, we should open the Kabbalah neder before Shabbos and before Yom Tov, to be mochi mechor lo l'kodesh, to take a neder not to do malacha during his man. According to many poskim, you would require a neder to say, even though it's a nigre mitzvah. That's why some poskim kind of that it's not right the way people do. They come to shul on Erev Shabbos and they just have to say to Malacha. Really, they should say the Torah. Harei mekabel alike. This is Hayom Shal Shabbos. This is Hayom Shal Yom Tov. On Erev Yom Kippur, many people do it because many people have the practice of the minute to recite the Tefillah Zakor composed by the Hayorim, which is printed in many Maktorim. And at the end of the Tefillah Zakor, he has Harei mekabel alike. This is Hayom Shal Yom Tov. To be also the Rechit Mishti of Nirat Tamil and so on and so forth. So you say the Kabbalah Shabbos is the some parts in time that the proper thing is to do it not only on Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is a special reason for the Rambam keeping the right, but then you should really decide to make sure that you write that Erev Yom Kippur for sure is the right. But perhaps all year long, we're also machmir to be Moshe Mechol on the Kodesh for Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Perhaps the proper thing is that all year long, once you're in the Kabbal, or Sefer Shabbos and Sefer Yom Kippur, it's just there. On Yom Kippur's night, every Yom Tov night and every Yom Tov morning, and many healers, they add piyutim in the davening and there's a kriya shema. Piyutim in general is a general problem. But when the Sakhan and Rishat HaBrocha, they didn't compose all of these piyutim. So the question is brought up by the Rishonim whether reciting these piyutim constitute an inyan of hepsik or not. So the Nation's Dovra by the Nitziv has a tshuva where he points out that there are basically three sheetim, yes, no, and sometimes. One sheet in Rishonim is that you never allowed to add on any piyutim. If you add piyutim, it's a hepsik, not in the Krishna, not in davening, not shakras, not minchah, not maariv. Never, you can't add any piyutim. The other sheet is no, you can always add piyutim and it's not a hepsik. All the balei tosfos compose the piyutim. Obviously, they love the piyutim. Rocha says, there's nothing wrong with adding on piyutim. Add piyutim in the middle of the benching because this lila says it refers to the piyutim that you stay here in the neighborhood of Purim. A long pie that says it refers to the middle of the benching because this lila. And so on. And then the Nitziv says that the minig in sort of in his community, and the way where he came from, the minig was that sometimes yes and sometimes not. But all year long, they don't allow him to use them, assuming that they constitute a hefsek, both because of kriyashma and mishma etzrei. And an aseret in a tshuva, not why Roshanim keep an aseret in a tshuva, because these days are designated after halacha by the Torah. It's in the Raizah that these days are you make tshuva. That's the whole idea of kriya shofar. I'll begin. Rav has a long shir, many riots and shnayis and gemaris, after halacha, that the shofar is a form of tefillah. So why should there be a special chiyuv tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, more so than all year long? So the Ramban points out in Sefer Mitzvah, the Ramban has a machlokes with the Rambam regarding tefillah, whether it's a mitzvah they write every day. The Rambam's opinion is that this is counted as one of the tayyad mitzvahs. And the other, the whole of Abtan, the Gemara says in the first draft in time, is that based on an hour, they have other shibboleth. This refers to tefillah. So the Rambam's opinion is that if the Torah gives you a mitzvah, and it doesn't say how often you have to do the mitzvah, it's understood that it's once a day, every day. You have to do the mitzvah tefillah once a day, every day in the Torah. With the Rabban, you have to daven three times a day, sometimes four times a day, five times a day, it's different. But in the Torah, the chiyuv is to daven once a day, every day. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. Ramban's opinion is that there's no chiyuv to daven in the Torah once a day, every day, except if it's the eighth Torah, then there is a mitzvah to daven. Tefillah the eighth Torah. So the Rishonim point out that you may have been are considered certainly considered a star. If the world is, if your life is hanging over this, your life, the decision whether you're going to live this year or going to die is totally the omed. Or even Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, the Mishnah says, the Gimel Prophet Hashem Ha'olam Lidon, the Pesach Nidonim Ala Tzua, the Chag Nidonim Al Peres, and in Sukkot Nidonim Ala Mayim, so the Tzua with the Peres and the Mayim are also relevant to us. Whether you're going to have water, whether you're going to live or not. So on the Shalosh Regalim, they considered Yimei Hadin, Ha'olam Nidon, and Aseret Mei Tshuva is also Ha'olam Nidon. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin, Yom Kippur, Aseret Mei Tshuva. So therefore, the Rishonim say that these times of the year are considered Yimei Hadin. We mentioned on different occasions, the Rishonim say in the Dorim, that although all year long, the Gemara recommends that you should never take a Neder, Shalosh Latidim, and Shatidim, and Lech Shalom, but the best thing is never to take any Dorim. But yes, on Shalosh Regalim, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the meaning is that they make appeals in all the shul. Why is that? This is not a gimmick. It's not because everybody comes to shul. Everybody used to come to shul all week long by then. You didn't have the people on the camera or shining the kisser and shows you go. Everybody was in shul for kids, basically serving and gifting and jumping. But then the shul was just as crowded in the middle of the week as on Shabbos, and basically changes the din by kids. It's a favorite based on that assumption. But everybody's in shul all the time. So the Shem said there's not a gimmick. The idea is that all year long there's an Easter Tzav HaShem HaTidim, which is Tidim HaShem, it's best never to take in the Dorm. However, traces in the first Daf of Kulam, the Avishan Zeh, close to Medesh, Vayida Yankit Neda Leymar, that it's a mitzvah lead, why does it say Leymar? Leymar Lederis, and it's a mitzvah lead of the Eish Tzorah. Whenever a person is the Eish Tzorah, so it's a mitzvah to take a Neder, and maybe the Kursa Neder, he'll be mitzvah from whatever the Tzorah happens to. The person is Rahman Ratzvan 6, or Mehadin, or whatever, or someone else in the family is sick, whatever it happens to be, there's some kind of a Tzorah or another, so it's a mitzvah lead of. The Neder the Eish Tzorah is a special din. In fact, some Rishonim say that you should never be matzah the Neder the Eish Tzorah. Akonet, Kubolim says it's Akonet to be matzah in the Dorim that one took the Eish Tzorah. It's a special mitzvah lead of the Eish Tzorah. You can undo your mitzvah. It's not going to undo a Neder. You undo the mitzvah lead of. First, you have Shuvah Ba'aloha like this. The wife was sick and he took a Neder, and then he decided to be matzah the Neder. So what's the din? So on and so. So the person points out that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are definitely in Ehadim. So therefore, if it's an Ehadim, it's certainly a mitzvah of his power. Even according to the Ramban, that tzivah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanon, there is no fear to be mitzvah every day, once a day, even in a Torah. But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's certainly a chiyuv mitzvah. These are your Ehadim, it's an Eish Tzorah pi halacha. So therefore, the Nitzvah says, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if there's no tshuva, we allow piyutim. But it doesn't constitute a hefsek. Where did this compromise sheet come from? We have the two sheets, the hefsek, no hefsek, that's the Rishon, the two quotes in Elachai. Where did the compromise sheet come from? So the nation of Dover points out, it's found in Masechet Sofrim. But in Masechet Sofrim seems to indicate that all year long you're not permitted to add anything onto the Shon Esrei, except for Rav Shani and Kippur, and I'll make sure that even you may have given, it's a special mitzvah of his parallel, so you can add on into the sheet. So many communities, they have that meaning. In other communities, they have the meaning that they say to you then, even on Sholosh Regal, and even not worried so much about the, maybe because they also feel that it's a sorrow, or because the Chalal, they're not worried about the problem of health. So many communities, they say Payet by Marovis, they say, they add on to Yutim in the Birchat Krishna by Marov, they add on to Yutim in the Birchat Krishna by Shachris, and in the Shemana Esrei, Shachris Mut. In other communities, they have a compromise minute. That by Myriv they say Marovis, they add on Piyutim into the Brichas Kriyashma, and the Shachris they don't add on Piyutim. How can one possibly distinguish between the Myriv and the Shachris Brichas Kriyashma? So the person say you don't have to break your head to try to figure out. And Chilukim Alvedim is very simple. The Levush points out it's very simple. Shachris, you can always miss Man Krishna. The Chazan can start gurgling away on the Piyutim, so miss Man Krishna. So they made a minig in many places, no Piyutim in Shachris. And even if you started davening Shachris 5 o'clock in the morning, look, no piyut in the shakra, that's all. And in my riz, you can never go wrong. What, you're going to miss Hatzayt? What's he going to miss there? Not shy. You can dab it all night and you still say Vichas Krishna Dizmah. That's why in many communities, the minig is that they say Marovis. The Rav have that minig, and then his yeshiva in Boston, they said Marovis on the Yom Kippur at night, and shakras in the morning, he didn't allow any piyut in the Vichas Krishna. That was what the Lagush points out to. In fact, it's interesting, the Rav's brother, Shmuel Olav Hashem, told us once that he was told, I think, by his father, Rav Moshe, that when Rav Chaim was alive, he didn't allow him to say any Marovis in Brit Kiddush. No, nothing, no Piyutim by Marov, no Piyutim by Shachar. I think Rav Chaim died in the middle of the summer, and the Sukkot right after that, from Chazalik, he changed the minig, and he said they should start saying Marov. He thought that it was more profitable when Rav Chaim was alive. He's not going to go against Rav Chaim. Chaim was the Rav. The Sukkot right after Rav Chaim passed away, he reintroduced the Marovis into the Dalai. On Rosh Hashanah night, Shulchan Aruch has different minhagim, what to eat, based on Gemara, the Marhari, what to eat. You should eat things as a simon toys. Not that it's so crucial that if you don't have the apple dipped in honey, you're going to have a bad year, and if you do have it, you're going to have a good year. That's like the Nachashuv, like the Nainu, that you're not allowed to think like that. Gemara says it's not a violation of any mikvah, if you do things as simon toys in the beginning of the year, you eat the head of an animal and so on, you get a rosh of life, it's not anything you say to you. In some poskim, I'm aware of a problem if you have an apple dipped in honey and eat it in the middle of the meal, is a style of what they say, Bari Piho, eat sanat on the apple, because not really Dvam Haboy Machin Chasuda. It's not an appetizer, it's sort of a dessert, it's a style of what they say, Bari Piho. So some poskim say, well, you can solve the problem easily eat the apple together with a piece of challah, so then it serves me an ikar and a tofel, and the apple wouldn't require another bracha. So some other achrayim and taimim, no, that's not to be recommended, because if the mitzvah to eat a kazayis or yosem kibetz or pas on Shabbat Yontif as a suda, and you're not yosem the suda sons to eat apple. You have to eat a kazayis or yosem kibetz or pas. Two opinions of Shulchan Aruch, how much pas you have to have. And there is a sugi in the end of Sochem that we're all familiar with, whether you take Sochem Atzimor all together, B'kicha Achas, Hiro says in Vegas and B'kicha Achas, and the Chachamim say that you're not allowed to do that, and to eat all three together, Mrs. Mavat was in a zoo. The Akan, the Gemara, the Zakan of Sugi Elah, whether Mrs. Mavat was in a zoo, if you eat Sochem Atzimor, each one of them is a mitzvah, but they're competing mitzvah. Each one is a different mitzvah, whether if you eat them all together, whether you're eating a mitzvah or not. What if a person eats, let's say, the matzah, and he has an apple sauce with it? It's not the Pesach, and it's not the matzah. It's not the matzah. He just eats the matzah together with something else, with the dvar hashus. So the Gemara says, if you eat a dvar mitzvah together with the dvar hashus, then definitely everybody agrees that achilas dvar hashus is mevatli achilas dvar mitzvah. Some poskim dug up this new kumrah that you not yaitzei the surah of Hashanah. If you eat the apple together with the pas, with that amount of pas that you need to do the surah for your kazayis and your yosim kibbeis, you're going to eat plenty, eat a lot of bread. So, you can eat the apple with the pot. And if you're going to have just the symptom, you don't think you're going to have too much bread, too much challah on Yom Kippur, then you shouldn't eat the dvar hashus. The apple is basically a dvar hashus, even though it's a minik. But it's only a dvar hashus, so it would constitute a bittul to the mitzvah of Sudat Yom. So Rav Avadya Yosef has a truth in one of his more recent sermons, and he explains that the Al-Tipasis were not cautious for that. God is not such a bad timer, but he explains why it's not really Yosef Yahalshim, and we're not really mach. The first we discussed, one who benched on Rosh Hashanah and was so tired that he forgot to say Yalav Yovin, when he has to bench over again. So the first can say that whenever there's a shayla, whether you have to have a suda or not, and some parts can hold that you don't have to have a suda at all, like Shalosh Shudas. The first can say this, Shalosh Shudas, some parts can hold that you can yaitu with that part, you can yaitu with the three. If you would have had teiris, then you wouldn't have to mention Shabbos at all in your burner fresh, even if you happen to have bread or matzah. At the bench, and you should say your say, but if you forgot to say, you wouldn't have to bench over again because you could have been yoked to that suda without any class as well. They also, their thoughts can have such a chidus by Rav Hashanah that, since there are some gonim who have the opinion that you're allowed to kiss and you kiss to kiss whatever on Rav Hashanah, even though we don't follow that suda, we're mocked that we have a suda on Rav Hashanah, but still, since there are those who would hold that Yamukh, we would all have a suda if one would bench and forget to say Yalav Yom, we wouldn't have to bench over again. Brandon points out that in the Balat Tanya Siddur it would appear that he distinguishes between Rosh Hashanah night and Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. But the Almach Legit HaPosim where he allowed a fifth and Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. But the night of Rosh Hashanah, everybody agrees you have to have a Siddur Yom. Rosh Hashanah in the daytime, that's the Yom HaDin. Night, there's no Din, only by Yom. So by Yom, it's Yom HaDin, to some Posim, some Gonim hold, it's the minion to fifth. And that would be the Siddur. But by Lai, you would have to bench over again. Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, so certainly you're not allowed a fifth. And you would also have a problem whether the Yisri of Hashem on the first day of the person you forgot to say Yalav Yov in the benching in the daytime, what do you have to bench over again? Tamar Rosh Hashanah, he wouldn't have to bench over again, but it happens that it's Shabbos, he's not allowed to say it. So does that make you then have to bench over again because of the Rosh Hashanah? It's not so question. Of course, in the davening, a person has to be very careful to not to. The night of Rosh Hashanah, at the night, was the first time that we say Malach HaKadosh. That's what I said in Shuvah also. But the first night of Rosh Hashanah, it is not uncommon that people forget to say Malach HaKadosh for the first time in the Shemana Esrei. So the pashtus is that you have to daven over again the Shemana Esrei to first forget the Malach HaKadosh. Hayodim has a chiddush in the name of the Babala, the Zion and Zilner, Babala Pashtvela, that if a person forgets the Malach HaKadosh the first night of Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't have to repeat the Shemana Esrei. Because, like the Gemara says in Brachas, that if a person forgot to say Yalav Yov on Ma'ariv on Shchedesh, you don't have to daven over because then the Katan is a Chodesh Balayla. So here too, you're not the Katan is a Chodesh Balayla. So you wouldn't really declare it as Rosh Hashanah till the morning of Rosh Hashanah. It's a difficult Chiddush. The Rav once gave a whole Yotzat to Rosh Hashanah, and this place Medrash explained why he didn't think that it was right and why Al-Tipas is a person should have to daven over again. But Moshe also has a tshuva, he says like Rav Babel for different reasons. Don't tell him why the person forgot from Melech HaZadah doesn't have to daven over again. He says the din, Malchus means that it's a Yom HaDin, and the din doesn't begin till Rosh Hashanah in the morning. The original Chiddush. The Pashtus is that the Chiddushim, Hakadosh is served. That if you get Amalek Hakadosh, the first night of Rosh Hashanah, you also have to daven over it. We all know, says the Ramah quotes the Shulchan Aruch, the minhag not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. It's night, you can sleep, but in the daytime not to sleep. It's supposed to be based on the Yerushalmi, which I don't know exactly where the source of the Yerushalmi is. It's supposed to read, Man Domach Vereshata, one who sleeps on Rosh Hashanah, Domach Mazel, his Mazel will be sleepy for the rest of the year. In the Swedish forum, they explain what kind of an inner is that if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, because when a person goes to sleep, his neshama goes up to heaven, so to speak. Yotzafti Ruchi. Before you go to sleep, you say, Yotzafti, I'm giving back my neshama to the Rebbe. So the Yom HaDin, we have a cloud, the Zachon Yod and Mishloi Gifon, and we call the Lord Melo Gifon, so the Zachon Yod is going to make a Gmar Din against us, so we have to be there. So if we're not there, if we're awake, the neshama is down here, so he can't make a Gmar Din again. And if we're sleeping, so then it's Domach Mazel, they can make it, we're there, they can make a Gmar Din again. That's how they say. Whatever the pshat is, but there are more courses in it. If you don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean you don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah? Then they are training courses now. These are Esther Hat Seis is okay. Esther 4 is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This Gefell, of course, the Din really is on Rosh Hashanah in the morning. The real minute that Chayim find not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah means that you have to wake up very, very early. Not to sleep in the daytime means starting from 5 o'clock from Alois HaShachar. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's one of the Hashkamas. What are all year long you daven at a deep hour? 9:10. So whenever the banker's minion is here. As long as you make this man feel is okay. But Rosh Hashanah, it says that that's one of the 4 days of the year that you have to daven the Hashkamas. Why? Because you're not allowed to sleep by Yom. Why do you sleep by Yom from Alois HaShachar is Yom? So sunrise is 6:40. Rosh Hashanah is at this 5 to 5 or something like that. He's supposed to wake up or Rosh Hashanah. I'm supposed to wake up before Rosh Hashanah. That's what the real meaning is. It's not such a fate if you go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon. It's fate is to wake up before 5 o'clock. That's what it should be. Lock on the Ashmore. On Rosh Hashanah, on Kippur, we say many times to use when we open up the Yom Kodesh. For the purpose of saying to you, so the minig is that fine point out, the minig is that everybody stands up when your Kodesh is open. What is the minig based on? So we have a din that you have to stand up when someone is carrying a Sefer Torah. And the Gemara learned it out from the Kabbalah, and says, if there's a Tochum, you have to stand up when the Tochum comes in. And so the Gemara says, it's Nelom Deha, Omdin, Koneho, Lekoshkin. So the Kabbalah Torah requires that you have to stand up when the Tochum is present. The Kabbalah Torah certainly requires that you stand up on the original Sefer Torah. Is there? That's more important than the Tamfah. That's something more makes the Kabbalah Torah. However, the folks can point out the other day in Simur Reish Pei Beis that with the Dinamah that this only applies and it's Torah in the same issue as where you are. But if you say, so someone's walking with a Sefer Torah in the street and I'm inside. Someone's walking inside and I'm in the street. So then if you say, Torah in the different issues, I don't have to stand. So the folks can point out, really, when the, how can I stand here? There's another thing you can't stand with your back to the Sefer Torah. So how can I stand here? So they say, the one who gives the shir, one who gives the drush in the Beit Medrash is permitted to stand with his back to the Sefer Torah. So it's been a different issue. Your Kodesh is Dalar HaVavah Sofim, it's 10 Sofim Sofim. But again, it's a different issue. But then it's permitted. Then it's permissible to have your back to the Sefer Torah, and there's no need to stand. Furthermore, the folks can point out, the Shulchan Aruch, that even if someone is standing in the same room, let them in the bench for Shkodesh, everybody stands up because the person is holding the Sefer Torah, so they say, that's not right. He's standing up for a Shkodesh bench for the Tzilah, but not for the fact that someone's holding the Sefer Torah. When someone walks with the Sefer Torah, you have to stand. But when someone stands holding the Sefer Torah, the din is that you may be seated. Because the din is you only have to stand when Talmid Chacham is standing, and Talmid Chacham is seated, then you don't have to stand in the Chodesh. So how can you determine whether the Sefer Torah is standing or whether the Sefer Torah is seated? Never stands and never sits. So the answer is when someone is walking with the Sefer Torah, it's considered as if the Sefer Torah is standing. It's in an uncomfortable position, it's moving. And the Sefer Torah is, if I'm holding the Sefer Torah, whether I'm standing or sitting, but I'm standing in one spot, I'm not moving, so that's considered al tidin as if the Sefer Torah is seated. And then there's no need to stand or cover the Sefer Torah. That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch. So really, the question points out when you open up your own Kodesh to the Piyutim, to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there really should be no need to stand for Sefer Torah. Because there are two reasons. First of all, the Sefer is in a different issue. And so the Sefer, the Yom Kodesh is a different issue of Al-Kidin. And secondly, the Sefer Torah not being moved, they're in a stationary position. And there's no Chiyuv Kavod requiring of us that we should stand. Nevertheless, the Hashulchan points out, we're Machmir, there's no Shuvah, we're Machmir, all kinds of Chumash, so we're Machmir here also, the Kavod HaTzeh. Just parenthetically, Torah, this is a big problem. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that many people in the middle of Hakov, it says, if there's a Torah moving around, many people sit down in the same room. And it's also Mikarazim. What a shanda it is that on Simchat Torah, which is the day which is designated, is special covered La Torah. And the Tuskin, the Gaonim, instituted that you're allowed to dance on Simchat Torah, even though it's an Isid. The Mishnah says, and Sapsin and Arakin, you're allowed to dance on Yontif. So they're allowed to dance on Yontif, Shenish Ol Goli, on Simchat Torah, the covered Torah. So, folks, you do everything with Kavod HaTorah, you have special deans. So, just on the day on which we're supposed to do Kavod HaTorah, everybody, there are a lot of people that sit in the Beis Medrash at the time of HaKos. It's not right with it, it's not right. You think that there's no Heter. So, that's why many shuls, they have a meaning that you are not there, that they go around once with the HaKavod on Hashem HaShiyono, or either Dalai, whatever, and then they put down the Sefer Torah in the middle, and everybody dances with that Sefer Torah. Solve a lot of problems. Solve another problem also. The women won't have any time. Is why they don't get hot tubs. The men don't get hot tubs either. They want on another problem. Many times the bachim and the men get all perspired and they have this vegetarian. It gets all fashlit. So I cannot cover that there. It solves a lot of problems. They have this vegetarian sitting on the beam. And the people dance without
vegetarian.
What's
the difference of a shulchan and all
Dalal to be tied in the zuzah. That's what we call the day zero. We call the rishus. It's like rishus ayachat Hashem. The Rav once suggested in a Rosh and Aseret Mitzvah that perhaps the idea of standing during the Tiyutim and Shani and Kippur is different. Perhaps it's not become the Kavod HaTorah, standing for the Shittur, but rather for the Tiyut itself. Because we are noheg that we stand for Dovish and Kedusha. When we enter Baruch with Kaddish and Kedusha, we always stand. Why? Because in Yishalmi, the Mother Hazan quotes in Sukhanot, it's what a Yishalmi that says that a Dovish and Kedusha requires Amidah. So the Rav suggested that maybe on the Gemiris, and maybe these Piyutim are considered a Dovish and Kedusha. Perhaps the definition of Dovish and Kedusha should be that the Rav is trying to figure out what is a Dovish and Kedusha. So perhaps the correct definition is, whenever one gives a Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is neither in the form of a Bracha, nor in the form of a pasuk. Sukkim, we don't stand for the Zimra. And Brachas, also, we don't stand for all the Brachas. So whenever you have a Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Baruch Hu, or Kaddish, or Kedusha, Sukkim, we don't say the Terech Sukkim. When there's no minion, you want to say Kedusha, then it says you should save with the truck, so you save the Terech pasuk. And when you have a minion, you're saying it is Kedusha, you're saying it is Shira. You're saying you don't say a whole pasuk, you say a Kaddish, or a Kaddish, or a half a pasuk. So perhaps that, if that is the definition of the Dovish Kedusha, whenever you have a Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shevach to the Shem Amforish, whatever the definition, the precise definition might be. When you have a Shevach, which is neither in the form of a Brach, nor in the form of a Pasrik, if that would be the definition of Dovish Kedusha, then one should be required to stand for all of these Piyutim, Mitam the Shevach, even if you don't open up the Yom Kodesh. You can just say, the Kailar of the Yom Kodesh song with the Yom Kodesh clothes, perhaps you should still stand up because of the act of Dovish Kedusha. This would, of course, involve one and another problem. The Minig in most places is that we always wear a yarmulke all day long, and then when you say a Dovish Kedusha, you require a tefillah. That you have something more than a simple yarmulke on your head. This is based on the Gemara in Brachos, so the Gemara says that the one who benches Mizumin should have Isu and Isu and Chaim, Olish, Tifa, Dofa, 10 dinim in Kosher Brachos. One of the dinim is Isu. And Isu means that he should have his head covered. So the Bishop says, what he means, what he does. And when he doesn't bench Mizumin, he benches the Gili, right? Because obviously it starts like this. Whenever you bench, you always have a yarmulke on your head. When you bench with Zoom, and then you have to have a hat on your head. That's how the Beis Yosef. On the bottom of the Rosh, I think the Korban, the final debate, Jesus, who says that's only a minute that you have to have a yarmulke when you say the bench. So maybe here it's a din. When you bench with Zoom, you have to have a yarmulke. So he denies the whole institution of Isu. But the Beis Yosef has like that, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's the minute. That we wear a yarmulke all the time. You say all brachas we mocked it to wear a yarmulke for. And you bench Mizum, and then you need Isus, you need something extra special. You have a big yarmulke, a special hat, and you wear the talis over your head. So the meaning is that if the Gemara says that you need to bench Mizum, the one who's benching Mizum has to have Isus. Certainly more so when you say the Dovish Kedush, you should certainly have Isus. Or when you got a Shemon Esrei, based on a separate cost, it's still the only Kiyato, it's proper to have that Isus. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch, the Achronim have a minute, that one Dovish Shemon Esrei, only one answer is Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu. One should not surprise himself with wearing a yarmulke, and then you have a mini that you wear a hat, or you wear a talis over your head, or you wear a double yarmulke, a fancy yarmulke, or something. So the question is, if this would be the case, that all these piyutim are a bunch of Kedusha, and that's why we stand up for them, but then it should come out of Chumrah, that you can't say Adon Olam without a minion, you can't say Yigdal without a minion, and you have to wear the talus over your head. Yeah? That was the Rav's suggestion. But based on the costume, based on what the costume say, that it's a chumr, the Rav HaShulchan, and the Taz say, it's really a chumr that we stand up to the piyutim. So the Rav says, Allah, that the person doesn't feel well. If they all the people, you should tell them that they should remain seated during all of the piyutim. The only say they should be that on Yom Kippur, when the Chazin, of course, in the Dalish, one actually has to sit, and on Yom Kippur, when the Chazin gets to the Vibri, in the middle of the Chazorah Tashat, that's the demon Gemar. Gemar is a small, sitting during Chazorah Tashat. The Chazan got to the Vidur, and then he stood up. So the person said, that's the Jew. The Chazan gets to the Vidur, everybody in the call has to stand up and stay along the Vidur as well. The Rav said, for all the people who find it difficult to stand, and they have to choose, so when are we going to stand? So you should tell them not to stand for the, not to stand for the Piyutim where everybody else is standing, because neither I did, and the person say, the classical person say, you don't have to stand, but you should tell them that you stand for the Viduyim and Chazaras HaShatan and Sikh. The Mate Ephraim quotes a minig that many people are ma'adah for, that everybody can't be ma'adah for this, but everybody tries to, that you should try to get an aliyah, Roshani and Kip, everybody tries to, it's impossible. You try to, the option of aliyah, that you should try to buy yourself an aliyah, Roshani and Kip, Roshani should go, why he doesn't explain. And the Rosh says, based on the Dina Shulchan Aruch, it says that the first tip in Hilchos Kriyas HaSeder says, that the chiyuv to give a chatan an aliyah, during Shiva Sina Mishnah. Why is that? The Rav explained as follows, that there's a chatan has a chiyuv simcha. Shiva Sina Mishnah. The chiyuv simcha doesn't only mean that he should be tameah, that simcha, that's what the Ram calls simcha pakeret, in the end of the book of Yom. His belly is going to be happy. He should eat and drink and be merry. That's not simcha. It's a non-Jewish concept of joy and happiness. Simcha means to be mitameah hacherim, to be mitameah umlolim. Give stuff to the others, and to make other people happy, to have other people share in his joy. How? What is the best way for the chassid to be mitameh chavis? To tell him a shtikl tayr? You could hear Hashem Yishar, mitam chaylai. So either, that's why the meaning is that the chassid says tayr by the chassid tish, when he gets married, by the kabbalah from the chassid says tayr, to mitameh all of the guests, so the chassid has a chiyah simcha. That's why the meaning is, that's how it's also, that's why the meaning is, that the chassid should get an aliyah, because if he didn't, the one who gets an aliyah is considered ayudei shemeh koinah, doesn't have a chiyah simcha, it's considered ayudei shemeh koinah is this, the older La Torah who recites the brachah is this, he were reading the psukim. The Balkori is just doing the work for me. But really, if I get the Aliyah, I'll begin to consider the Shemei Kodesh as if I'm reading the Pesukim. So the one who gets the Aliyah considers as if he's teaching everybody in the call a few Pesukim Chumash. That's the best way to cheer everybody up. Tell him a shtickle tayr. So on Yontif, if a person has a Chiyuv Simcha, and therefore he has a Chiyuv Simcha Sameach Adem, so on Yontif also there's a Chiyuv Simcha, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur included, the first can say there's a Chiyuv Simcha. So therefore, the Matei Ephraim says that for many years, see the man Shem Maisa Medakta could try, if it's not too impossible, if it's not too difficult, they try to get an aliyah. They should also, like the Chos, and they should be Mishameach et Ha'achir. Matei Ephraim has a Ha'ore, which is not only relevant on Yom Narayim, Hashem Yom Kippur, it applies to many shuls all year long. In many shuls all year long, the Kaddish that's recited right before Musa, he points out as a machlokes apostle and what the nature of that Kaddish is. Whether the Kaddish is to introduce Musa, or the Kaddish is supposed to be following the Ladovid Mizbo, the Mizbo Ladovid, the Perikin Kinnan that was just recited before. So by us there's no problem because we have one after the other. However, when the Chazan says Hinani, then it says first Ladovid Mizma, Mizbo Ladovid. Then he says, Hinini Honey Mimat, takes him, depending how long his dramatic performance of Hinini is going to take. Taking a half an hour sometime. Remember, my father once told the Chazan he should leave. My father was around for many years, and he told the Chazan it was late. He says, sure enough, that you have to start davening with the before Kazdosa Master, before 1:30. 1:30 right now. But he told the Chazan, you have to leave out Hinini because you have to start with the Chazan. Leave out Hinini? You can avoid any on Tifa. Chazan many shoes, he marches down from the back of the shoe, the whole system. So the Matei Ephraim says that when the Chazan says Hinini, and then he's going to say the Kaddish right after, so this is Nicha, the Kaddish is introduced to Musa. So he says Kaddish and everybody starts Musa right away. However, according to the other opinion in the Pesukim, that the Kaddish is supposed to be following the Ladovid Mizma, Musa Ladovid, and he said that a half an hour ago, and it's been mopped with the Hinini in between. So the Matei Ephraim says that it's proper that the Chazan should whisper after he finishes his Hinini, he should whisper Gimel Pesukim. But they are short Perikim Tehillim, so that the Kaddish will go on that Perikim Tehillim. and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Chazanim say Hinnani, all year long, in many shuls the Rabbanim speak, in between the David Mizma, in between the Benuchah Yoimar, and the Kaddish. And then when the Rabbi finishes, the Chazan gets up and he says Kaddish, you have the same problem. That's why many Rabbanim have introduced in their shuls that they speak at a different time, or that after the Rabbi finishes the talk, so the Rabbi or the Chazan summon, you have to say it out loud, and say softly also, a Perek and Tehillim, right before the Chazan says the Kaddish. Of course, in Musaf, we cite the three brachas in the middle of the Shemana Esrei, the Malchus, the Furnace, the Shofar, which contain within them all the Yesodos HaEmunah of our religion. Malchus, we believe that God exists, that He is the Melech HaOlam, He is the King, He's not the President. The President is elected by the people. If they don't like Him, they can impeach Him, they can fire Him, they can get rid of Him. Every 4 years, He gets himself another President. And Melech means that He's the boss, and whatever He says, He makes the law, whether you like it or you don't like it, you have to listen to the Lord. Malchus is a nuclear theme in the place. So we have to do the Mitzvah Sakwari because He is the Melech HaOlam. The Quranist is the Iker of Karvi Yonis, that the Rebbeinu Shlom knows, has the idea, He knows everything that we are doing, and He gives reward for the Mitzvahs that we do, and He punishes for the Averis that we do. And we believe that Eid al-Melech is going to Mata, like in Achiz Melech Melech, that any suffering that anybody has in this world is because there must be a Zerim Hashemai, nothing happens all through Nikre. Somebody asked me just a few months ago, I couldn't believe. Somebody asked me, I've been reading this book, why bad things happen to good people. The author comes to the conclusion that there's no hashgacha for us. The Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't really see everything that happens. He asked me, what's the Jewish view? I said, that's against the Jewish view. He tells me, excuse me, 2 months later, he tells me he visited his son who was learning in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He told the son what I said. The son said, no, quit. To the best of my knowledge, we believe I don't know if it's going on Mata. Any slight star that a person has, the Gemara says that Echan Yisurim. Then the Gemara says that Echan Yisurim. What's considered Yisurim that the Rebbeinu Shlom sees through it that I suffer? Might as well if I put my hand in my pocket to get a nickel to put in the machine or something, and it came out that I took the wrong coin and I'm slightly annoyed and I have to put my hand in again to get out another coin. It's also called a Yisurim. That the Rebbeinu Shlom brings Yisurim on people. He doesn't want to give Yisurim to punish people. But to give us a kafar doesn't have to be Yisurim that we should be crushed and completely demolished and destroyed and ruined. He gives light Yisurim also. If you cut your finger and you hurt yourself, it's also Yisurim. Mali calls the Kula, Mali calls the Pali, Rebbeinu Shlom accepts the Nun. And the Sultan Shon writes that. Rebbeinu Shlom accepts Mitzvah HaNefesh, Kola HaNefesh. He doesn't want blood, he doesn't want to kill it. A little bit is also enough. But all the Yisurim, he is through Mali HaShemah. The third rock, of course, is Shefer. Shefer is that we believe that Terez in HaShemayim. All of the Tzukim, all the whole introductory, the whole introduction to all the Tzukim HaShefer speaks about Kabbalah HaTorah with the Kol HaShefer. We believe in Gilui Shchina, we believe in Nevuah, and the Shofar always is a sinner that there will be a Gilui Shchina, that there is a Gilui Shchina. We believe that Rebbeinu Shlom gave us a Torah min HaShemayim, and we believe that He will be Megala Himself to us again in the future, to be a Hamashiach. These are the big Yisraelis of our Emunah. But yet, the Talmud writes in the Sefer Yisraelim that these three brachas, Malchus, the Chaim HaShofar, contain the three Yisraelis of Emunah. Yet, the Talmud disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam says there are 13 Yisraelis of Emunah, he says there are three. He says these are the three, the Chachamim picked out on Rosh Hashanah. To say the Malchus, the Chaim HaShofar, these are the three you say to the Emunah. Of course, this year, the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, so although in our Torah there is a mitzvah to blow Shofar, the Chachamim required of us not to blow Shofar. And when we don't blow Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we should have in mind that we're going to get a new mitzvah. We are omitting a mitzvah in our Torah, but we're going to claim a new mitzvah in the Rabbanah. We have to listen. Mitzvah is not the Chachamim, even if they tell you to do an Aver. So this is sort of an Aver. They tell you not to be declaring a mitzvah. The Torah says that Yishkaf, Yah Chachamim, Laka Dovman in our Torah, B'shei V'Alkan. Gemara never gives what the makor is for this gift. How do you know? We know from Sukkim and the Gemara that the Chachamim have the authority to demand of us that we should abstain from carrying an akamelis, we shouldn't do mitzvah to lahayad, we shouldn't do chumrah. Mishmati, asum mishmaris and mishmati. We learn that from another pasuk, that's the Gemara in Yivam is Akhor. We learn that from another pasuk that the Gemara has in the Sukkim of Chanukah and Amimad Likim. We learn that from another pasuk that
to have kinyonim, the mashkon has to serve the purpose of gviya. How do we define Yudhiya? Yudhiya is defined as an act of Bezdin. Therefore, Mashkam Shalabash HaFalvah, where the Bezdin initiated the taking of the Mashkam, that can be viewed as a partial Yudhiya. Mashayin saying, a Mashkam HaFalvah, which is a private deal between the two parties, they're not taken as a Yudhiya, simply, whatever reason, the Malveh wants a reminder, Zichon Zariah, he wants a Tafli Agri, whatever he wants, it's not a Yudhiya. That, again, the basic raya for that shita is the Rashi on the Pei Beis of it Aleph. Ein mor damar avisat mishkano shalashat halvaso. The hakra, the mishkano ayde shliach bezdin ksiv. That Rashi points out that the pasuk deals with the shliach bezdin, and therefore that's what defines mishkano shalashat halvaso. Managed in the middle of the yomim. However, Rav Chaim pointed out that not all Rishonim agree with that. That there, the Rashi in Shavuot uses the lashon kagon ayade bezdin. In other words, that mishkan shalabash halva, one example of it is mishkan ayade bezdin, but it could also be a private initiative. And that is said specifically by the post of Rihazafe in Kedushin on Rav Chesimus days. He says, "Tuva dinamei yimbachov atmos paso achar halva." In other words, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says no. Rav Yisrael Pagach applies even mishkan halva. Because you can have, even Mishas Halva, a Gevira, a potential Gevira. That is no Sira Minei Uvei. That's the Machlokes Rishonim. As to whether it's feasible to conceive of a Gevira simultaneously with the Halva. According to Tosafot in the Baal HaMoor, no. And that's why Rav Yisrael Pagach only applies to Shalva Mishas Halva. According to the Ramban, Kanereh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
The first one would be in the Mikdash.
The second one would be
okay. Fine. Okay. Now let's move to the next stage. Again, according to this is probably wherever this halakha applies. How much, and when we say that, or at least that we have enough kinyanim, of a partial gviya, what does that mean on the books? In other words, how much is the malveh really responsible for the mashka? So here we have a machlokas rishonim, which sort of is across the board. And it's not the same machlokas as we still between the Baal HaMoor and
the reason is given why they're afraid that we may carry. Any good apprentice said that those people on Kali Shabbos anyway, they're going to burn in Gehenna, and not only for carrying our Shabbos, they're going to burn in Gehenna for not listening to Shreif on the third day of Rosh Hashanah also. As far as they're concerned, there's no reason why they don't blow Shreif on Rosh Hashanah. I drove to Shul, and Rosh Hashanah is called the Shabbos. For what reason doesn't he blow Shreif? Does the whole Tama Takana go in the clock? So the idea on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is we should have in mind to be out to the midst of the Shema Diva Hachamim, even to the extent Laka Dogma and Atayra. But Hanav Atman points out one of his term, he thinks that the Makar is the pasuk that it says in the Chumash, "Vashasna kol davar shigid l'cha yamin esmol." We have to listen to what the Chachamim say. Rashi quotes from the Sefer, "Afil yamin l'cha yamin shu esmol, v'asmol shu yamin." So what does he mean? Yamin shu esmol, v'asmol shu yamin? Does it mean that the Chachamim passed through an error that the staff is binding? It's not true. The first mission that Hariyah says is that Bezi passed into the Torah. The stock is not binding. In fact, you show me on that mission, the first mission Harvey says, and how do you know that the stock is not binding when it's an error? So you show me derived from this same pasuk. Are you mean shu you mean? Or small shu hu small? It's just from this sifrei. But the din is like the mission. The din is like that. So what does this sifrei mean? I feel like mission is small, but small shu hu mean. The Ramban asks this question. Say, now this is the Ramban. The first Sherish talks about it. And the Malamed Lahoyal and the end of Chela Gimel collects the other parts from the Tazbeis and other parts of discusses the spirit, the spirit Luya between the Sifrei and the Rishami, what the nature of the pasuk is. But the din is certainly clear then when Bezin passes the narrative stuff is not binding. What's that of Shat al Mishu? It's not the different suggestions are given. So the Chanan has suggested maybe this is what the Drosha means. Did the Chanan tell you that on Rosh Hashanah Shacholim the Shabbos the Torah tells you the blood shaker? We tell you not to listen to the Torah. Doesn't mean they made a mistake. They didn't make a mistake. They tell you what the din is, and they tell you don't follow the din. So this is the pasuk that teaches us that Yesh Kaf Yar Chachamim Bakadosh Hu Torah B'Shei V'Yalta. This is the source. This is usually my annual shiur about Ken Yitzchak. Anybody know that? Herman Wolf is teaching in Yeshiva English literature. But the year that he took one year. So he still pride himself with the truth that he quoted. So the year that he told it, he told the Talmidim, he told his students that his book came to you is based on that Rashi, that the authority is binding even when it's an error. That's the side of the book. He said, this Rashi, I feel like Mishnah is small about Moshe Mitzvah. One of the students told him that it's wrong. It's against the Mishnah, and Harry is. The authority is not binding when it's an error. But that's the halacha is that the authority is not binding when it's an error. But when the Bezin tells you to do something, Keneged Atayr, is Yesh Kach Laka, Rafilu, Keneged, Laka Dogan Atayr, if it's B'Shevi Altam. Of course, this should put us into a most serious mood as to the Koyach of the Chacham. Even when they tell you, you minshu small, they tell you not to do one of the mitzvahs in the third. They tell you not to shake the lulav on the first day, took it. They tell you not to blow shayfim when Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. They have the right and the authority. You have to listen to them. Even to suspend the human mitzvahs, their rights. So much more so should we listen to the chachamim when they're instituting dinim derabbanan, which are not infringing on dinim deraisim. So much more so if they're telling what the pshat in the dinim derais is. It's the real pasuk. What pasuk called that? Shekhin l'chayom in a small. You have to listen to the interpretation that the rabbanim give to the pasuk. That's the pshutu shal mikra. Then the gemara also understands from the pasuk. You have to listen to them when they're inventing new dinim de rabbanan, and even when those dinim de rabbanan impinge on dinim de raisa, and they're akira zavman atzer. So you should have in mind this year when we don't blow shofar, that you can't have in mind the tears, but we should have in mind that we're mekayim the mitzvah shema de rachachan. That's quite a mitzvah. Here's a shaylin. Ronin, which is rooted in Machlokas and Rishonim, this year especially, on a normal Rosh Hashanah that falls out on a weekday, say, blow shofar and you go to the mitzvah. This year we are unable, our hands are tied, we're not allowed to blow shofar. So what can we do as a substitute for spear shofar? So some Achanan have the opinion that whenever, let's say, a Jew Nebuch is in Siberia, whatever, and he has no matzah, what can he do? So you should learn the laws of matzah. Some Achanan say, la locha, that the Gemara that says, call our. Not only applies to korbanos, it even applies to all mitzvahs. Every mitzvah in the Torah, once you're in the kain, the machshava, the dibur, the ma'aser. And if you can't do the ma'aser, at least do the machshava and the dibur. Try to do the most that you can. So at least learn the laws of the mitzvah. At least try to think into the rationale for the mitzvah. What's the mitzvahatko? What moral or ethical lessons should you learn from the mitzvah? On a normal Rosh Hashanah, you just listen to the shofar, practice. And this Rosh Hashanah, some Achrayim say, as it's in their eyes, is that since you cannot be below the shofar, like you don't have any shofar, you're the chacham forbid you from blowing shofar. So this Rosh Hashanah, the dafkish, chalis b'shabbat, you have to learn hilchos, kiyas, a little bit. You have to learn some dinim of kiyas shofar, even though it's not relevant. No, that's the best you're able to do to be in the kindness. Other Achrayim disagree. That's how the Chavetz Chaim holds, like the other. The Chavetz Chaim has his hafdomah to Achrayim, Shemesh. To the likot of Achayim that he has on Kotchim, that he quotes from most of the Rishonim. There are some Rishonim who disagree, as he quotes them. He quotes most of the Rishonim in the Pasuk who say that. That Gemara that says, Koloitik Parsha Soilu, Tila Hikul Zoilu, Koloitik Parsha Shlomim, Tila Hikul Shlomim, with a special Haftoche Lagabi Korbonis. That's the only context it's quoted in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Akkadis Boko told Avram Avinu that he's giving a merit itself. Avram asked, Bamo Eda Kira Shenu. And Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Beis Kut, what Kut will we have that we have the right to keep our Yisrael? The Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, Kol Yad Mishulashis, Beis Mishulashis, Bayim Mishulash, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Kut HaKorbanah. That's what the Tag Munkulis says in the Kodesh, the strength of all the Korbanah. So then the Gemara continues, the Gemara at the end of Megillah continues this dialogue that Avraham Avinu said, Lu, so the Tenech, the Zman HaBayis, that we're Makris Korbanah, the Zman Shein Beis HaMidish Kayam. What right do we have Eretz Yisrael today? We're not bringing any Korbanah. So the Gemara says, the Rebbeinu Shlomo said, Avraham Avinu, the school said you recite the Parsha Sakharban. All the Zionists have to recite Parsha Sakharban. Those who don't want Eretz Yisrael, they should leave that Korban. But the Gemara says that in their rights, there have been the only rights and brothers who said in their rights, that if you want to have a right to keep Eretz Yisrael, you have to recite the Parsha Sakharban. It's their rights because the Rebbeinu Shlomo said so. Whatever the Rebbeinu Shlomo said is their right. He is their right. Whatever posts the Rebbeinu Shlomo, that's the Rabbanah. So the Gemara says the Rebbeinu Shlomo told Avraham Avinu, this is in the right. He told him, if you want to have this kut to keep Eretz Yisrael, you have to read the parasha. This man on Migdish, bring the korban. Zman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kain, you have to speak about the korban. So the Chavetz Chaim quotes in the Hakdomah, the Hasidus Kainim, that most of the Rohr of the Rishonim HaFanim assume that this is only a special Haftoch Legavi korban. The Shalom of Fon Sosein is only korban. Purim doesn't refer to the other mitzvahs. But there are some Rishonim HaFanim who say, that it applies to all mitzvahs of Torah. Whenever one cannot do the mitzvah of the ma'aser, he should at least try to do the mitzvah of the machshava or the dibur. In fact, we pointed out on different occasions that the Rishonim has in Megillah, Masechet Megillah, they have 2 days. The Gemara says when Purim Shechol is the Shabbos, you should be Dorish, you should be Dorish Megillah. But the Taisus Mirash, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, has 2 days. Is this only when Purim falls out on Shabbos, and you're unable to read the Megillah, then you have to have something Bimkan, you have to have a substitute for the Kriyas HaMegillah, so then you have to learn the Hilchas Megillah, Darshan the Megillah, do the best you can. You can't learn the Megillah, so do the second best, learn about the Yom of the Megillah. Oh no, the Gemara means to say, even when Purim falls out on Shabbos, Kol Shemana doesn't fall out on Shabbos, you should Darshan the Megillah. But then the Rishonim has 2 days. About this. According to some Rishonim, according to some Achronim, about this has like this. According to some Achronim, there would be a special union this year on the first day of Rosh Hashanah to learn Hilchas Tzitzis. From what would have thought. When you're not learning Sharpah anyway, well, you have to learn Hilchas Tzitzis. So, no, in order to make up for the fact that you haven't had a Chnot Tzitzis to go. In the Chazor HaTashat, we have a minhag to bow when Chazan reaches Aleinim, on Achim Korim, Mishpachim, and Modim. Of course, the Chazan should not bow down. The Shulchan Aruch says the Chazan shouldn't bow down, even on Yom Kippur in the Seder HaRoidah. But our problem, the minhag is so strong that the friends say, what can you do? The Chazan do bow down. But the Rosh Hashulchan says that even though the minhag is that the Chazanim do bow in the Seder HaRoidah, Kol Am Am Bazar, Korim, Mishpachim, and Modim, but for the Aleinim on Hashem Yom Kippur, he shouldn't bow. That's Zikha not problem. Only the tzibur should bow down. The Zohar Gaon is quoted in the Maaseh Rav is saying that it's not proper that the people, it's not really not proper. Originally, all the minig was that for Kol Hamam Nebazor, everybody would bow down all the way down on the floor. And Yom Kippur said over it. For Elena, they would only kneel on the floor and lean over a little bit. And then later, the Akronim say the minig changed. Morgan Avram, he was talking about this. Originally, the minig was like that. Later, it changed. That even for Aleinu, the minig is that you bow down all the way. Then apparently in the days of the Rosh Hashanah, it changed back to the old minig. That for Aleinu, they didn't bow down all the way. So they quote in the Maaseh Rav, they quote in the name of the Goyim that he felt that the later minig was more correct, that the proper thing is that Aleinu also you should bow down all the way. All the way on the ground. And every yontif we have the din is supposed to duchen every day. We have a minhag for whatever reason it happens to be. In chutzlars we only duchen on Yom Tovim. The shalit when yontif falls out on Shabbos, go to be duchen on. When Shulchan Aruch they quote an obscure at the time that they had it wasn't so obscure. They had quote a difficult minhag that when yontif chalis the Shabbos you don't duchen. And then most of the achronim say that it's not proper. One should be mevatel minhag and you shouldn't do it. It's interesting. The Hashulchan writes. And that Simon, Hilchas Mesias Kapayim, says that the posting discuss a minig over here, which is an improper minig, but there's nothing to discuss, so the minig doesn't exist anymore. So he's going to omit the whole thing. Why should he quote it? But the minig does exist, many shul that still don't duchen on Shabbos. And the big posting still say that it's not right. Moshe has a shuva in one of his Torah, and many other gedolim have shuvas that it's not right. Rav Eichner, in fact, told the story that when he first came to America, he had a position as a rav in Boston, and Rosh Hashanah. Was like this year, the first day Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos, so the Kohanim didn't want to do him. That was their minig. So he started fighting with them. He said he was a very young man, and he was fresh, and he told him, he's the Rav, and the dinner, you have to do him. So he made him do him, so he said he won the fight, and he lost his Rabbanah. So he said, if you fight him after Rabbanah, he was by Yom Kippur, he was like, but the Rav told us that when you become Rabbanah, we should try softly, you don't have to get fired for it, try to convince the Kohanim that they should duchen even on Shabbos. The proper minig is to duchen on Shabbos. Of course, when you duchen on Shabbos, the first thing you don't say the Tchina, so you don't say the Rabbani Shalom in between. So the Kohanim don't have to force the Shimon on in one thing. They say Yivrach Hashem, they say right away the Yishmerecho, they say the Yishmerecho. They don't have to sing any niggin in between the Chazan and the Yishmerecho. There's nothing to sing a niggin about. The only reason why they sing a niggin is to enable everybody to finish the Rabbani Shalom the Tchina. But on Shabbos, Tchinas are not allowed. So they say right away the Yishmerecho. Just on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, when you do say the Tchinas, this point, the Mishnah Berurah points out that in the Siddur it's printed that the first 2 times you say your Rabbanu Shalom. After you Rosh Hashanah Yishmerecho, Yosh Hashanah Parashat Yishmerecho. The third time you say Alon Yigivot. That's from a Chiddush Siddur. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Goyim that it's not really right, that this Tchina, the Rabbanu Shalom, is not the Chiddush, this is our Gemara. This Nusach cannot word for word, it's found in the Gemara. He says that the more proper practice is, you say all 3 times the Rabbanu Shalom. And the Rabbanu Shalom ends off each time with a different word. The first, the Rabbanu Shalom that you say after the first post of Rosh Hashanah, you should say Vivarcheni. And the second time you should say Vichuneni. And the third time you should say, you got the third word already. Shouldn't end off all times the Yishmei, the Yishmei, the Yishmei, the Yishmei, the Yishmei. Because each time you should end with one of the three words, the appropriate word that fits in with that prophecy. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gemara. Just on this theme of Nesiyas Kafayim, there are many dinim that are important to know by Nesiyas Kafayim, but one of the most important dinim that is unfortunate that any Balabatim don't know, the Gemara says that the drachas must be given panim keneged panim. That the Kaim have to amol lahem, kodem ayim lahaver, like a person speaks to somebody else. In many shuls, the Balabatim are so nervous about looking at the Kohanim's hands, that the Gemara says it's not proper to look at the hands, the Balabatim turn around their back to the Kohanim. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara says that this is not proper. They have to face the Kohanim. And even many shuls, they face the Kohanim, but they put the talis over their head. Rabbi Yanki Semden has a big attack against this in his Siddur also. He says that that's also not proper. It's also not Kohanim Keneged Kohanim. He doesn't like the fact that Kohanim cover up their faces. That's the very quotes that meaning that Kohanim cover up their faces. But this is definitely Keneged Adin, leaving out Rabbi Yanki Semden's Kumra, not to cover up the face. This is Keneged Adin, to turn around and get back to the Kohanim. The proper thing is to face the Kohanim. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch writes that the reason why the Kohanim put the talus over the hands is so you won't be able to see the hands. There's nothing to see. You don't have to close your eyes either. You're going to see a talus. You're not going to see his hands. That's why they cover over the hands, so no one should violate the sefer of seeing the hands of the Christ. On Rosh Hashanah, davening is so long, Kippur also. All day you daven, so very often people have to go to the bathroom in the middle. So the Achronim points out that it's not proper. You know, we all go to the bathroom with talis kofnam, but we don't go to the Beis HaKisei when we wear a talis godlam. What's the chilek? The kedusha of the talis godlam is more talis. There's no kedusha. Talis is a tashmishin mitzvah we pass. There's not a tashmishin kedusha. There's one sheet of the Ramban, there's one sheet in Tanoim. That's not a tashmishin kedusha. We don't pass like that. It's not a tashmishin mitzvah. So what's wrong? The thought can say, but the meaning is that a dovah ham yukha the tzilo is not proper to take into the Beis HaKisei. So the thought can say, if so, it's not only regarding a talis, the talis godla, we wear b'shat tefillah, it's still regarding a garful. Those of the Hasidic persuasion wearing garful. A kittel is also miyuchad for tefillah. You only use a kittel any other time of the year unless you're davening. So the proper thing then, when a person has to go to Beis HaKisei, he should take off the garful or the kittel or whatever in advance and leave it on the outside. After the person goes home on Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah to have a suda. Some Morgan Avram quotes from the Magid, the Jews go to say to Magid Nishon that he had a malach, he used to tell him Siddus and Halachas and everything. So Magid says that it's not proper to have Batsu the Yain on Rosh Hashanah. I, the Potsu says, you have to have Batsu the Yain, Potsu the Yain. He says that's for the Hamoinam, but the Chidus Gula shouldn't have Batsu. So the friend say we're all Hamoinam. We don't have any Chidus Gula. So the proper thing is that you should have Batsu the Yain. You shouldn't overeat. Not a yontif that one eats in a hilarious fashion. You don't eat and drink and be merry. Still, you are not in, but it's still proper to have a light food. And then, of course, the Ramah says, as we mentioned before, the proper thing is not to sleep. The person is tired. Then the Ramah says, that if a person doesn't want to go to sleep, then he's not going to learn, he's not going to daven, he's not going to say tillim. So what's he going to do? He's going to schmooze with his friends. So the Ramah says, Yoshid Batul, Yoshim Domi. That's the same as sleeping, he's wasting his time. The person's going to waste his time, may as well go to sleep. The proper thing is that on Rosh Hashanah you shouldn't waste the day away. You should be Yosik in the Yoni Torah Mitzvah. That's one of the main tainas that Rav Gerelik, the Rav Gerelik used to have against the Tashlich. Tashlich became now a big thing. Everybody goes to Tashlich and the Shmuis and the meet the men, women, the children, but you waste the whole day away with the Tashlich. But the Ramah, Yeshiv Bakul Fiyoshim Domi, that's exactly the vine. That's God takes sleeping on Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Ramah says you're not supposed to do, to waste the whole day away.
Yeah,
is a minute to go to Tashma? Go to Tashma, go back. One, two, three. Now, see, you have a river, you go, you say Tashma, come back. Tim Gordon says the meaning by Yatsu is a different husband. What about when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? Do you say Tashma? Many people go and say, you say Tashma. Shari Chubakwa, many people say, you say Tashma, even when it's on Shabbos. They just have to be careful not to carry the, not to carry on Shabbos, not to go put layers. And then the Prima Gaon says that our minig is like the other Kabbalim that when Rosh Hashanah falls on the Shabbos, say Tashlich on the second day. Even when you say Tashlich on the second day, you have to be careful. It depends where you live. If you live in New York, there's no problem. You live, let's say, some of these little villages in New Jersey. It could be that when you go to say Tashlich, you're going quick with Kum. Not so posh at where the Kum ends over there. After the Mishnah says in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, it's saying Erevin, that in order to have the status of a city, that you have the right to go the whole city, and then I'll find my outside. It has to be structured in a certain way. You have to have a certain number of inhabitants also, so that's even a little villages in the Jersey also have. But the city has to be structured in a certain way. The Mishnah says Mishnah Erev and Mishnah Erev. So you have to have Gimel Chaseres and Beis Batim in each cluster. Chaseres, in many of these towns you don't have any Chaseres. Chaseres means you have two homes or two apartments open up into one hall. In the big cities where you have one apartment building next to the other, so you have Alpidin in here, on one block, is in here. Then you have the next block is another year, interlocking Ayaris. One gigantic year. Then you have many Ayaris here. Interlocking, they're considered Alpidin 1 year. But if you have a community where all the homes are private homes, you don't have one, you have a nursing home, so you can figure out maybe that'll be Alpidin in here. If you don't have any apartment buildings at all, just have private homes, the person may be up to hack the foot, may not be able to go to shul either. Then you have to measure up high mama from where your house is. There's no halacha that whatever the municipality, whatever the government declares, I'll be cautious. Halacha is not whatever the government declares as a city, and whatever the mayor has shlita, and wherever you pay your taxes, that's considered a city. The halacha has rigid requirements as to what's considered a city and where the city limits are. So a person should be careful, not only to, when he goes to tashra, especially, because you usually have to go a little further, but even when he goes to shul, person should be careful that he shouldn't go for cook. Doesn't have to be Jewish. Chassid is in an area that is enclosed, which more than one family has access, has the right to use. You have two batim in a chassid, inhabited by two different families, and then each one is used the yechidus, each family uses that, and then they use the chassid together. So if you have an apartment building, so you have the people who live on the halls, and then they use the halls together. But if you don't have a part in the hospital, you have to have permanent dwellers who have been living there for more than 12 months. Nursing home, maybe, yeah. But you have to figure out whether your city has a din of ear oxygen to make sure you're not going to a system. This year, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, there's a specific problem with the Shalashudas, and Rabban Avraham, quoted by the Magen Avraham, says that in the Gemara, Somach Lemincha Ktana, you have permitted to start a Seder. And Erev Shabbos, Samach Lemincha Ktana means a half an hour before Mincha Ktana. Mincha Ktana is 2.5 hours before the Shkia. Samach Lemincha Ktana means Gimel Shoras before the Shkia. So the Shkia and Hashem is going to be about 7 o'clock. That's approximately 5 to 4, 10 to 4. So the proper thing is that everybody should start the Shalosh Shudas before 10 to 4. How can you start? You just finished eating. So that's what the folks can say. You should make, when you come home from Shul, you should make Kiddush and wash and eat and then bench and then take a walk. And you leave it or whatever, and then pause for a while, eat the first food very quickly, and then pause for a while and have a second food, break up the one food, and soup, instead of eating a big food, finishing crazy, you come home at 2 o'clock, and then you're going to finish it at 3:30, so then I can have another food before 4. The first food is not that fine, so you should break up your one food and have soup. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah has a time, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Bir Allah the whole time, but he doesn't like the Smog and Avram's Kumrah. What do you mean? You're telling me when I have to eat my Shabbos? This is Shabbos Deraita and Yom Tov Deraita. Sunday is the whole day of Rabbanon. You tell me I have to worry today not to be Mekai my Shabbos. Let me enjoy. I come home from Shul at 1 o'clock one day. I want to eat my Suddah like normal. Then I want to have my Shabbos at 5 o'clock. Don't tell me what to do today in order to worry about tomorrow's after Rabbanon. So the Mishnah Berurah Taina is all the time, Tekel Zayt all the time against Mogar Zon. That's why he changed the Igret Moshe points out, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, the way he quotes the Magen Avraham, he changed the Lashon a little bit. Magen Avraham says that you're not allowed to start the Shalosh Shudas after 4 o'clock. Mishnah Berurah says you should try to start the Shalosh Shudas before 4 o'clock. And if he didn't, it's a problem. If he didn't, then you should study the Shalosh Shudas later on. It's a din l'chatchila. He quotes the Magen Avraham l'chatchila. You should try to be the Sadi Yisrael in such a way that you start the Shalosh Shudas before the half hour before Zman Mincha. Of course, this year that Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, there's too many hobbies where you say tikkoska. I think the common meaning, most common meaning by us is that we don't say tikkoska. It is an unusual meaning that they have by the Yekis, then from the Maharil, that they don't say tikkoska even on Shabbos Shuvah. Good, that's not quoting Shulman. Then there's Zichron Shaila on Rosh Hashanah. The reason why, of course, given Shulchanah, is that we don't want to say Tishpotech Tohem Rabbah. We don't want to remind the Rebbeinu Shlom that he's medaktik in his mishpat. Maybe he'll forget about that part. Won't be coming back. The second night of Rosh Hashanah, we recite Kiddush again, and we have the machlokes regarding Shehecheyanu, whether one says Shehecheyanu or not. The Rambam and the Ravid have the machlokes regarding the Gemara, when the Gemara says that Rosh Hashanah Mishnah and Erevin would be in basis, whether the 2 days Rosh Hashanah Ayoy Ma'arichta or not, and we pass in that Ayoy Ma'arichta. So the Gemara says it's Ayoy Ma'arichta L'chumre. What does it mean, the Chumra, that if something is Muktzah on the first day, it's then it will remain Muktzah on the second day? But what about the Kula? You said that it's Yom HaRish from the Kula, so that's not like it's the Rambam on the right. What does it mean, the Kula? Let's say if a person lives in a little village in New Jersey and his home is Chutz Rukun from the Shul. So he's a box of matzahs in his friend's home. He leaves the Bat Matzah in his friend's home, which is a half mile away, in order that he should be able to go to Shul. So the din is that in order to be kind of shvich, in order to have the Erebe Kum in the Bat Matzah, whatever food you put away for your Erebe Kum, in order to stay through, it has to be Kayam, Bein HaShemashas of Yom. So what if it was Kayam on Friday evening? So then he can go to Shul the whole Shabbat evening. What if the Matzahs were eaten up on Shabbat? They ate up the Matzahs on Shabbat, so that on Matzoi Shabbat, which is the second night of Rosh Hashanah, there's no more kumis, so can he go to shul on the second day of Rosh Hashanah or not? If he say Yom HaRich, the Bein L'Hakel, Bein L'Hachmir, Hapila L'Hakel, so then half of the Rishonim hold, well, the Yom HaRich, so the Matzahs were there on Friday night, and that's kind of shvita for both days. But if he say that it's only Yom HaRich, L'Hachmir, that whatever is mixed on the first day remains mixed on the second day, but it's not L'Hakel, then you have to have the Bat Matzah should be kind in your friend's home, both on Friday night for the Erev Kum and Shabbat, and on Matzoi Shabbat for the be able to go Chutz Rukum on Sunday on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So this is a machloek. So the Maaseh, the same Shaila applies as well in Yishech Yonah. If you consider that it's Yom HaRichta only Lahachmin, not Lahokil, whatever, the Shaila Lahokil, then I say it's not Yom HaRichta, then you got to say Yishech Yonah, both say. Because I say, well, the second day, maybe you take it again, and maybe yesterday was falling today's Kodesh. You have to say again Yishech Yonah, because yesterday was Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the second day of Rosh Hashanah is the real Yom Tov, the real Rosh Hashanah. You have to make believe in the Rabbanim that the second day is the real Rosh Hashanah. But if you say that it's Yom HaRich, the Bein L'Hakel, Bein L'Hachmir, so there's no speaker here, so there's no topic that maybe yesterday, maybe today. It's one long Yom Tov, and I already said Shachyana yesterday. But that's the Machlokes from Ma'aseh in the Rishonim, whether you say Shachyana on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. And Mikra Adin, we talk in that it's only Yom HaRich for L'Hachmir and not L'Hakel. And why this is so is an interesting Gemara. So long as Arichas and Gemara Beit, so the Rosh won't get a big shear about that. Gemara has that there are two reasons why there's two ways find him that Rosh Hashanah has 2 days, and based on the both considerations, it has to be treated as Yom HaRichta L'Chumra and as Sekeh L'Yom HaLechumra. Two takkanos that Gemara has. So the Ma'aseh Mikra, then we talk in that you do say Shachan in the second night. But the Maharam Rutenberg is quoted by the Rishonim, and he always likes to make a compromise to the Yotzi L'Chol HaShittus, the Yotzi L'Chol HaDeis, so he introduced that you should have a Pri Chodosh or a Devus Chod or something. And you say you finish on the second night, but for sure you'll have to say the Shachan. No, you just have a time list. You consider it as if that's your Matan Sutra. Many people search for Shachan fruit for the second night of Rosh Hashanah. A lot of people say, great. So the Rav always uses the kibbutz, it says in the Ma'aseh Rav, Morgan Avron quotes from the Ma'aseh Rav, and he quotes from the Ma'aseh Rav that the Vilna Goyim is makkel about it, not to use grapes for the Shachyonu, because the Chet of Eitz Hadas was on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Nivra Ha'olam means that was the Friday. The world was created 5 days before. Rosh Hashanah Nivra Ha'olam means that's when Adam Rishon was created. The same day he was created, he was sitting in the Eitz Hadas. And one of the several opinions that the Gemara says is that Eitz Hadas was great. So in order not to get involved in the Eitz Hadas story all over again, the Rav Gaon says you should refrain from eating grapes on Rosh Hashanah. So that's what they say, it's not right to Morgan Avraham quotes it also. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes it from the Ma'aseh Rav that it is very much better not to have grapes in the Shachyanah. Is there anything? Of course, the Yikar HaYikarim on Rosh Hashanah is the Tzkiyah Shofar. Tzkiyah Shofar knew this year would only have on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah records that the Tzkiyah Shofar should be Al Seda HaBrachas. And the Chazan says that HaZorah HaShad, if the Malchi is if the Tzachanis and if the Shofar, it's proper to blow Shofar then. The Gemara adds on an additional Takona over and above the Mishnah. In the first paragraph, the Zayin says, "Oma tokuf shnei yoshim tokuf shnei omdim kdei la'adu b'chatzot." This is Hakonat Amaroi. That you blow tears of the Yushev and tears of the Yuma. Exactly who are, what are the tears of the Yushev, tears of the Yuma? So normally we assume the Pashat Pshat and the Gemara, tears of the Yushev are when you're not saying someone else, that's the tears that we have. After Kriyat HaTorah before most of the tears of the Yuma is during the Hazarat HaShem. The Baal Amor has his original interpretation as he always has original interpretation. Balamor with the Ra'oh, always have something new to contribute to the Gemara. So he says, no, Shas is like this. Here's the Miyusha, this is when everybody's sitting, listening carefully, attentively to the Hazarat Hashas. But here's the Miyusha. Here's the Miyusha, is when everybody's running out of shul. They're calling up the Talais and saying, I don't know, everybody's running out. That's the humor. Everybody's in a haste to get home. He says, so where do we get the skiers in between Kriyat HaTorah and that's Gorsh, because that's Hakonis Agonis. It's Potsam Yudik, Agonim Tor. But a lot of people, Cholim, Kainim, Kreis, the women are Mubarak, Munekas, whatever, they can't stay in shul so long. So they're going to miss all the skiers. They're not going to listen to any skiers. I'll say that, bro. They have to hear three times, not learn the shofars. So the Agonim Institute is, I guess as they added on more piyutim and as they davened longer on Rosh Hashanah, so they instituted that you should blow tzitzis before Mubarak. So the mindset, that's what we have, whether it's the Balam or Pshat, post Hamyudik, I mean, the mindset we blow these three times. We blow tzitzis, what we call tzitzis and yushos, in between Kriyat HaTorah and Musaf, and we blow off Seda, Brachis, Seda, Chazor, Hashat, and then we blow as everybody's running out of shul after the cut. By the Chassidim, by many Sardim, they had a meaning that they blow tkiyas in the Shpilish Manasseh also, and they claim that this is based on the Yoruk. They discourse in Rosh Hashanah, the name of the Yoruk, a minhog, that the sound sources and other Rishonim and Gonim, to blow Mea Kolos. To blow Mea Kolos corresponding to the Mea Tiyos 100 times that Sisra's mother was crying. Another version has it that Zora was crying, the Akedah was on Rosh Hashanah, and when the Sultan told Zora that her son is going to be killed, so she was crying. Whatever it is, they have a minute to blow Mea Kovah. That's the more popular minute today. So the Yoruk is quoted by Tzitzis just saying. It says in the Yoruk like that, that you blow 30 Kovahs before Musa, 30 Kovahs in the Shtilish Manasseh, 30 Kovahs in the Chazarat Hashat, and then 10 Kovahs therefore. That way it's generally assumed. The Yavnei Nezer has a whole attack against the Zun Sultan, of course, of Tzitzis Shered, and he, of course, blew keys in the Shtilish Manasseh. But he says it's not for the fact that he's a Rebbe, that he's up for a living, what can he do? He says he would do away with this tzitzis in the Shavuot Manasseh. It's the worst thing you ever heard. I'm going to mix everybody up. And it's the most confusing thing, Shreklach. He doesn't like it at all. And he says the Yoruk never said it. He has such a tiger, it's unbelievable, such an attack. He says the Yoruk never said it, he never meant it, and no one ever did it. He's Gevald Geshrim. It's two Shavuot La'alot, he should do away with tzitzis, whatever possible, he should do away with tzitzis in the Shavuot Manasseh. He has as a joke. He has a taina which he presents as a joke, and he thinks that it's not correct. He says, maybe you can say al-pidin, it's incorrect to blow tzitzis in the Shtilish Manasseh because it has to be tefillah balachash, and the tzitzis make a big sound. It's not balachash anymore. I was told that the Rav thought that wasn't a joke. So the Rav thought that was a serious taina. The Rav might have does blow tzitzis in the Shtilish Manasseh. But his main taina is that it's the most confusing thing. He says he was the son of the Kotzker Rebbe, so he says, in Kutz, he didn't wait for his father-in-law for Hazarat Hashat. And he says it was the most confusing thing. The Chazan would be in the middle of the Hazarat Hashat, and who would be over there? And he says he remembers the Chedush HaRim with Davin Beis Medrash. He says the Chedush HaRim had finished the Shtilish Manasseh, and the Chazan was really way after the Hazarat Hashat, way after the Zechariah. He says he thinks that the whole Kiyas business is very confusing. So later, Akronim Tainer, what does that prove about anything? The Chedush HaRim finished the Shtilish Manasseh after the Chazan was finished with the Zechariah. And if they leave out the tzitzis in the Shtilish Manasseh, the Chazan will be davening till after the whole Chazan. So why does Avner Nezer consider that a point to argue that it's confusing? They don't understand what the Ramach and Minchas Alos. They don't understand what the Taine was over here with the Chazan Rim, with the Kotzkerim. What does that do with anything? Confusing, yes. That's Avner, of course. That one of the Kaddish Rabbanim tells you the name. They had a meaning that they blew. By many tzitzis they blow and see with the Lachash. So the meaning of their shul was, and their community was, that the chazan would say the bracha out loud. At the end of Malchus, the chazan would say the bracha out loud. And then everybody would know that they should wait and pause and listen to the Baal Tekeh of Lo Shofar. So the Rav heard the chazan say the bracha out loud. He screamed out, Amen. Then he realizes, in the middle of the Shtilish Manasseh, what did he say, Amen? So that Rosh Hashanah, after Musa, they made a takana, no more tears in the Shtilish Manasseh. So Minchas Alozin says, he doesn't understand. Why do they have to make a takana? Why don't they make a takana like we have? The chazan doesn't say the bracha out loud. The Gaber gives a clap on the shtender, and they give a pause for a few seconds. Everybody knows that the tears are coming. And then the Baal Tekeh blows. Why do they have to make a takana to do away with the whole meaning of the tears and Shiva Balak? Minchas Alozin is very much for this because it's from the Baal Shem Tov, it's from the Ari HaKodesh, it's from all the Dreva Chassidim, it's from the Shalom HaKodesh, and the Shalom went there to Israel, he introduced this minute that they blow Tefillah and Tefillah B'Lachash, and the Tefillah B'Lachash, and the Tefillah B'Lachash, he feels that those who have the minhag should preserve it. Now the Nezer says no, that only those who understand what it's all about, those who are Yichiyas Kula, know what the status are all about, they should preserve it. But the Hamoinam, those who are not machin, they're imitating the Chassidim, they don't understand what the Chassidim is all about. The young Chassidim, he makes fun of them that they're blowing in the Tefillah B'Lachash. Whatever it is, they're distant in hugs, but you blow in Tefillah B'Lachash or not. If a person is davening b'yichidus, so then the Gemara says there's no takonas chachamim that he should blow the tears al seder habrach. So when does he blow tears? So that's a machloek. Rashi and the Gemara says that a person who davens b'yichidus, let's say people don't feel it. They're going to blow shofar at home by themselves. But Rashi says on the Gemara, you should blow the tears after they daven with. The Ramah quotes in the name of the Kol Bo'ah Fakir, they should blow the tears before moving. The meaning is like the Ramah, that they blow the tears. Meaning in most places is like Ramah, but they blow the tears before they daven. Others are masters of Dabkir. Dabkir like Rashi, that's the Achrenim say, the common practice is like the Ramah quotes in the name of the Kol Bo'ah against Rashi, that one of Dabkir's Mechidus, if you can arrange it. It can't be. Yes, Dam Yechidus, and the Baal Pekir is going to come to blow. It's not, so it'll be like Rashi. But the Chachila, that's the minig like the Kol Bo'ah. Yeah. You can arrange that, Mishra. Not too much of a tirk on the Baal Pekir. In Shulchan Aruch, the Achronim quote a minig that the Baal Pekir should hold the Shreifah covered over when he blows, when he recites the Brach. They don't give any reason for it. Abinezer has a long tshuva where he tries to figure out what could the reason possibly be. It's a very difficult explanation. It's very, very shvere, has bearing what he did. Mincha Salazar has a tshuva where he says he found in the Radal, who wrote the Hakdomer, he wrote a whole maimer on the Zohar, the Kadmus HaZohar, where he gives a tam that the Medrash says that when Avraham Avinu did the Akedah, which according to tradition was done in Rosh Hashanah, when he was building the Mizbeach, he covered over Yitzchok to make sure that he wouldn't become Yitzchok, he wouldn't become a Balmum or anything. And since it's tears, the Gemara says, Lama Tokim Shofishalayel is Zechel Akedah. So since it's tears for Zechel Akedah, so you also cover over the Shofar as a Zechel to that, that the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu covered over the covered all the Yitzchok that he shouldn't become Yitzchok. I mean, there's a tiny though, the problem of over the Yoiver. The din is that when we lay Tzum, we say Brach on a Tzum, so we're marked to make sure we're about to, the Gemara like them, we're about to do the Hiduk, the Titan Tzum, and then we say the Brach. You don't say the Brach away before. You just put it on your arm. It has to be over Lach Yotzum, and that over the Yoiver shouldn't be way in advance. And here also, the very strange meaning, what the Baal Pekir doesn't even hold on to the Shofar. He just leaves it there and he says the Brach, then he starts fishing around to get the Shofar out. But Achayim say no, they're worried about that when he made the tiny. He should hold on to the shofar, it should be mechutzah. The some Achayim say should hold on to the kisui, should have the shofar under the kisui and hold on to the talazek on top. Then it's also like if you have, what have you accomplished? You have to put his hand in. The pashtus should hold on to the shofar under the cover, and then when he finishes the brach, he should right away take it out to minimize the pausing in between. Shulchan Aruch, there are more quotes than meaning that you have a makri. Somebody, the Rav usually, Al-Chacham, if there's no Rav, the big Al-Chacham is Makri, he calls out Tekiya, Ashroyim, Shroyim, Tekiya, and so on. But the Baal Pekir will know what to love. But many Sephardish communities, they have it called, they don't have that meaning at all. A meaning that's developed by the Ashkenazi. They don't have it to love. And then the Mishnah Brura points out that he thinks that the first Tekiya, the Makri, should not call out. So the whole idea of Tekiya, so being Makri, is that he shouldn't make any mistake. It's the first Tekiya, it's not to make any mistake. Baal Pekir have told me that from him makri then you can choose them more. If you don't makri then they know how to blow. They get there, when they get the shape in the right position and they're ready to blow, they can blow everything straight. When they have to wait for the rabbi to tell them what to blow, it confuses them. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, of course, the Machlokes, the Ramban, and the Rabbi Natan, whether Tashrat, Kiyah, Shvarim, Shvut, Kiyah should be done with the Shema Ahash or the Shtei Neshima. That means the Shvarim, Shvut, the Kiyah should be done in one Neshima. Then the left key, of course, the Nishima. The shadows, what about the Shvarim Truwa? Abin Atam says, must be done the Shtei Nishima, because that's the way a person cries and doesn't moan and groan and sob all together in one Nishima. And Ramban says, no, if it's Al-Pidin, Ramban has a right from the Gemara Sukkah. If Al-Pidin is one call, Shvarim Truwa is one call, so it has to be Dabka the Nishima. So the shadows, how do we Paskin? So there are more Paskins, Nikarazin, everything should be done the Shtei Nishima. Many poets can disagree. They say, no, Mikra did everything should be done in the Neshima Achas. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends in a Tetreva to be Yotzei Dei Kol HaShitas that the Baal Tekeh should blow half of the Tekeh in the Shema Achas and half of the Tekeh in the Shtei Neshimas. Which should he choose to blow in the Shema Achas and which the Shtei Neshimas? So the Pashtas is, the way we blow Shofar doesn't really matter. The days of the Shulchan Aruch that we only blew Tashrat after Malchias, the Tashrat after Zechonis, the Tashrat after Shofar. So there's a reason why the doing Chazorah Tashrat, they had to blow the Shtei Neshimas. So if you blow in the Shema Achas, then it's a long reason, look in the Mishnah book. It wouldn't be able to blow based on Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says there's no din of hepsik. If you blow a shever or a chur where it doesn't belong, it's not mafsik. That's why if you blow tashrat after malchus, it's okay. Blow tashrat for yibiyotzi. You need tashrat, you have it. You need tashrat, you have it. You need tarat, you have it. You have whatever you want. But you have another kol mafsik, Rabbeinu Tam says, there's no problem. No mafsik. There's no such a din of mafsik. He doesn't believe in that whole thing about kol acham mafsik. So if you're going to do like that, if tashrat is going to be miman of shev, it's going to be yotzi, all the three versions, then it has to be mishtei nishim. Because it's going to be Mishima Achas, and even if Rabbi Natan agrees that if you have another cold in the same Mishima that doesn't belong, then for sure it's Mafsik in the middle of the sea. So in the Shulchan Aruch, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, when the practice was that they only blew Tashrat alone after Malchus, and only Tashrat after Zechonis, and only Tashrat after Shofar, then if you want to have a compromise to the Yotzei Dei Kol HaShitas, so they would blow during Chazorah Tashrat the Shtei Mishima, and during the Tekiyas, the Mishnah, they blow the Mishnah. As far as we're concerned, we don't do like that. Most places, we don't do like that. They blow Tashrat Hashat Tarat after Malchus. Tashrat Hashat Tarat after Shefet and after Zechonis. And then by us, it doesn't really matter which one you're going to do the Shema Achas, which one you're going to do the Shtei Neshimas. The only thing that does matter is, that the Neza points out. So if you say the Broch in the very beginning, they should try to be Yotzei then, whatever the Yikad Din is. So if you need Shtei Neshimas, you should do that first. But Tekiyas, the Mishnah, if you need the Shema Achas, do that first. Now the question is, so which is the Yikad Din? But then you have a shayla. So the Rambam says the Ikra Din really is that you need Shtei Neshimas. And then later Achrayim say, no, the Ikra Din really is that you need Shema Achas. So it's a shayla. The Rav holds that the Ikra Din really is that it's in Shema. So the Rav is not to close everything in the Shema. From the beginning to the end. Most of the time, close in the Shema. Then at the end, to the Yotzei, the Shitas Rabbi Natan, which the Rambam says is the Ikra, which he holds not the Ikra, he tells about the Ketz to blow three times Tashrat to Shtei Neshimas. So the Rav blows 102 times. Instead of 100, just the last three, he has three times Tashrat, the Shtei Neshimas, the Yotzei Rabbeinu Tam. But in most shuls, the practices that you split, you either do some in the Shema Achas, some in the Shtei Neshimas, you make whatever compromise. And, whichever one you hold is Ikar Din, most Achronim hold Ikar Din is against the Rabbeinu Tam, like Ramban. So you need the Shema Achas, so you should do that when you say the Brach. You should do the Ikar Tia, should be done the Shachim. The Poskim all point out there is a problem. There's a din of hepsik. One is not permitted to be mafsik. There are three dinim of hepsik. A hepsik in between the broche and the afiyas hamitzvah. Hepsik in the middle of afiyas hamitzvah. And then there's another hepsik over here. After I've already fulfilled the mitzvah, not to be mafsik in between the tzkiyas and the yushim and the tzkiyas and the yumah. So of course, the hepsik in between the broche and the tchilas afiyas hamitzvah is much more common than the hepsik in the middle of the mitzvah. So the Shulchan Aruch says that we are makel, we don't consider the tzilas as a hepsik in between the tzkiyas. But the Shabbos, what do you mean? The tzilas are not a hepsik. Let's say a person will say, Shema Kol Shachar, you want to start saying a tzilas. That's like a hepsik in between the broch and the tzilas, the tzilas and mitzvah. So that's certainly a hepsik. So there you certainly not allowed to be mafsik. What about a tzilas in between one seder, let's say you blew Tashrat three times, and you want to say a yirat, and you want to say some tchina. So what's the din of saying tefillah of tchina is in between one seder of tchias and the other? So that's in the middle of the tchias. It's not the same as the tefillah that it says in Shulchan Aruch. Not a hepsik that's in between the tchias and the yushu, which in effect will be yotze all the tchias they're righteous at, all the possibilities they're righteous, and the tchias in the yumad, which is now only the rabbanon. Now that we've already been yotze the tchias they're righteous, the tchias in the yushu, so the tchias are seder abroch is only the rabbanon. So there the Shulchan Aruch says that tefillah tiyutim are not a hepsik, but maybe in between one seder and the other it is a hepsik. That's what the Derech HaChaim, and the Siddur writes in the Siddur, Derech HaChaim, that it's not proper to recite the Yerushim that are printed in the Masorim in between the seder Tashrat and Tashat, or in between Tashat and Tarat, because it's being mafsik in the middle of the Asiyas HaMitzvah. And not only in the middle of Asiyas HaMitzvah, this may be a hepsik in between the Baruch and the Tchil of Asiyas HaMitzvah, because why do we blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat? Because of the topic, maybe it's supposed to be Tarat, maybe it's supposed to be Tashat. So we said the bracha before, and we're going to start saying a yehiratim before we get to blow tashrat. Mam shehef between the bracha. Chilas atzius hamitzvah. So the Derech HaChaim is very much against it. It says in Amla. The problem is they quote from Arizal that used to say the yehiratim. the Minhag HaTalaga, the whole Shuvah, to pick up for the Arizal, and he explains that there's nothing wrong. He doesn't really explain it. Other Gedolim in Europe, other Gedolim to say that it's a sex thing. Mutter to say you have to be sex thing. Maybe the din is like the Rabbeinu Tam, when he wrote Tashrat, he wrote everything already. So the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't believe in Jesus, which they machine. Because Rabbeinu Tam doesn't believe in any Hepsikol Acha bin Tayin, so the Tashrat, he finished everything. And even if the din is not like the Rabbeinu Tam, maybe the din is like the Rabbi Goyen, who says that everything is good, Tashrat is good, Tashrat is good, Tarat is good. The whole Takonash Rabba Bo, the Kisri, that you should blow Tashrat, Tashrat, Tarat, is because those Balabatim used to say about the others that they're not Yotzi. We're the only ones who have the true religion. And they said about the others that they're not Yotzi, so you should attack each other. Made a Takonah to make Shalom Aisol that everybody should blow the same spears, and nobody should be choshed that the others weren't Yotzi. So some Gedolim said that the reason why some Gedolim allowed the Yotzi was because of the sex thing. Maybe you were Yotzi with the spears of Tashrat, the later Rabbeinu Tam, and even if not, maybe you were Yotzi with the spears of Tashrat, according to the Rabbi Goyen. Later parts he said they didn't go for this sex sake because the Prince Gadim has a klal in Shulchan Aruch that you're not mitzayed for a sex sake a shita which is nitzal agamrei, which is the Rabbeinu Tam shita over here. We just don't talk like the Rabbeinu Tam, but I have to call out at the time doesn't bother us. We reject the Rabbeinu Tam completely, so there's no sex sake. So it's generally accepted the Chumrah of the Nesivis that it's not proper to say the Yerushim. Even the Minchas Alozo who says that you can't attack the Yerushim because it was said by the Arizal, also says Lamaita, you shouldn't say the Yerushim. Of course, the father of the Shuvah didn't say the Yerushim. And he says, if you look at them, they were obviously put in by a Christian. You speak about Yeshua Saratim. He says, in the Kabbalah, there is no such guy. There's only one person, Yeshua Saratim. That's Oikai Hoish. He says, it was put in by a Mesis Rahman al Islam. And he says, you're not allowed to say. He says, the Arizal said Tchinis, but these are not the Tchinis from the Arizal. They have other Tchinis from the Arizal. He says, those you're not allowed to say. So Lamaita, for sure, you shouldn't say the Yerushim. Because that his father didn't say, he says that it was put in by a Christian. He says it's clear, says that's not a lashon in any. There is no such figure, no character like that. Yeshua Tzatzim doesn't appear in any his Kabbalah book. So he says it's also Huish that it's referring to. The dogma, Rava has the Chumra, of course, that Yeshiva is about Maksidan, that when the Balkir says the Brach, Mishnah, Shoshot, and Shafianu, they announce that they're going to say, should say Amen, and nobody should say Baruch Hu.